And this weekend, I had a lot of surprises, bro. A lot of surprises. Here's another thing I gotta ask, bro. What'd you think of Dan Hooker in that fight, bro? Do you think they gave Dan Hooker like an easy win just because he had been taking a lot of fights last minute?
First of all, let's just give him an easy win.
I'm
gonna stop you right there, bro.
Hey, bro, I gotta throw shit out there, bro. I gotta see where it lands, bro.
I'm gonna stop you right there because you said something that was completely blasphemous. It's not boxing, bro. They don't give out wins in the UFC, bro. You have to fucking go out there and fight.
Damn,
bro.
He said your sport that you root for it. Hugo gives easy fights, bro.
Did we not just see what we just saw, bro?
What did we see that we didn't see?
First of all, when it comes to boxing, bro, it's nothing like the UFC. We already know that. So what I'm trying to say is, though,
UFC does not give out wins.
Okay, can I say who also... UFC also gets easy pass the championships.
Ooh!
We have to admit that, bro.
Ooh, fast tracks.
How many fights there's a difference between
what Manny said, giving out wins, and then...
It's still a fast track.
An easy title shot.
It's not the same thing, but it's similar. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all. Easy.
What do you mean?
Not at all.
So
in the case of Pereira,
so you're gonna
bro,
put Islam Makhachev's his fast track as like, oh shit, this guy's like he fought everybody to get there. No,
or the Khamza
Pereira,
fast track.
No, Khamza at least got
burned.
You know what's crazy though?
Both of those guys fucking won. And are now the fucking title holders of those divisions.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's all about opportunity. Are you going to strike when you get the opportunity?
Makhachev has
like another guy that's like that, bro. Sugar Shane O'Malley, bro.
Makhachev,
but he hasn't had a title shot yet.
But still,
Makhachev hasn't had a title shot.
That wasn't a fast track in order to go against Peter Yan.
There was a hype behind him. They're not fast tracking him.
He wasn't even in the top five in order to go against Peter Yan.
Levels to it, Mauricio.
That's exactly what Khamzat just did, bro. Who else did Khamzat face in the top five besides Burns, bro? Burns was number two, I think.
Yeah.
Khamzat did not
fight. That was Islam.
Dan Hooker, bro.
That was Islam, bro. That was Islam.
Yeah, Islam.
Benny,
I would say
Burns. At the end of the day, Islam.
The credit that I will give him is that Islam Makhachev. He at least took an L before he got anywhere. He did get knocked out early in his career.
Way before.
All right, here's why.
That was way before.
This is why
Khabib was in his corner, dog.
Khabib and his dad was in his corner. What are you talking about?
So Dan Hooker,
not like how he is now, dog.
Dan Hooker took a lot of last minute fights, and he said yes to all of them. Right? We know that. But the reason I said that it's an easy win is because they gave him a grappler when he's a striker, bro.
You didn't know that was going to be an easy win, bro. When you saw that knee bar, bro, it could have been over right then and there, bro.
Bro, he got out of
there. He overcame the threat that guy gave.
The threat, bro. That dude was like a crab, bro.
You're really going to forget the first round, bro?
Nah, you're tripping, bro.
The guy that Dan
Hooker was fighting was like an 11-fight winning streak, bro. All submissions, bro.
Yeah, leg locks.
He is... No, not a Laylock, but he was just submitting people. But the guy was good. He just gassed out. And Dan Hooker, this is all about opportunities. He took the opportunity. The other guy, like you said, had the opportunity to end it early. Dan Hooker, he overcame the adversity. Mm-hmm. Now, to prolong the fight, he stretched it out, kept his distance, kept kicking him to get him away. And the guy was tired, bro. So it's not really that was like a given fight. That's the only difference.
Nothing's given there, bro.
In the UFC, that's where it's not like really handed to you. You still have to fight. You know what I'm saying?
You still have to go out there and make weight, right?
And he fucking
you won the fight, bro. He didn't go out there and take a fucking like illegal knee like Aljamain Sterling said, and he's like, I can't continue the fight. I'm taking this win. That's taking a fucking win right there, bro.
I mean, by the way, bro. Like, let's be honest, bro. If you're putting your life on the line and you get kneed in an illegal blow, and we can say whatever we want. We're not in his body to say that I can feel that headbang, how that shit felt. Bro, you know what a concussion feels
like. But that's taking an easy way to a win right there, too, though.
It's not an easy...
He became the champion. You know who else could have done that? When Anthony Smith fought John Jones, John Jones hit him with an illegal strike, and he could have been like, nah, I can't fight. DQ, Anthony Smith would have been the champion. Anthony Smith was like, nah, I'm keep going.
All right, look. What did I just say right now? What I just used the big O word. What is it, bro?
I don't know. What was the O
opportunity,
word?
Opportunity, bro.
We're all talking,
so
bro.
If that opportunity comes up because of somebody else fucking up their opportunity, because that means... what's his name? Peter Yan fucked up.
Mm. No, well, that was his team not knowing the rules of that state. That's how they messed up.
I mean, regardless. But back to the point, though. I think in all states you can't need somebody.
Back to the card this week, right? I just feel Dan Hooker got an easy fight. That's just me. You guys don't feel that way. I feel that way. But either way, I'm happy for him because he was on a losing streak and he finally gets a win. You know,
I feel like this is not an easy win. It's more like he fought top five guys in the last five fights. And this time they gave him somebody in the top 10. Not even that. He hasn't even cracked the top 10. So it's like.
But you know, Dan Hooker's not in the top five either. He's 12. Like that. Yeah, he's pretty down there. You know what I mean? So it's not like.
But that's because he kept losing the top five guys.
He lost to Chandler. Yeah, and that's how he lost his rank.
But I'm still saying that's still you. He's not fighting. He's not at that rank himself either. So it's like if he's fighting these lower-ranked guys, it's okay.
The UFC trying to get, all right, a guy that might be on his way down and a guy that's on his way up. Let's see who's going to be the one.
And Dan Hooker was like, I'm still coming back up.
Exactly. That's basically what happened. Yeah.
Frankie Edgar, huh? That was a nice.
They could have given him an easy win.
You left.
They could have given him an easy win.
I saw it, though. I saw that, though.
I
was calling that shit.
You could have called that.
That shit was a bad loss.
You could have said they're going to give someone on a retirement fight an easy win, but no, they didn't, bro.
Nah, bro.
There's no easy.
But that's not only. All right, look.
Nah, but the Dan Hooker fight is different from this one. This was two strikers, bro. And the other dude kept setting up that knee, bro. It was bound to happen, bro. Your brother was calling it the entire time until it actually happened.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is that there's no easy fight in the UFC. Just going back to your prior statement, bro. Because this guy's on a retirement fight. They could have done it too, bro.
Let's not say there's no easy fight.
What's the easy fight that you say that's like, damn, that's an easy fight for this guy that you saw in the last couple cards? We've been watching cards together. What's one that you...
Right now, my head can't think, bro.
I mean, then you're just talking about
it's not that, bro. You know why?
I'm gonna push back on your theory. That's why, because I don't think I personally like the boxing. I will buy that, you know. But in the UFC, I won't. The UFC, bro. It's
any given Sunday for me in the UFC.
Yeah, bro. We saw that in the fifth round with Izzy and Pereira, bro.
No, but that wasn't an easy fight, though.
It wasn't, but. Who was dominating? But Izzy was dominating the fight, bro. That was like Edwards and then getting kicked in the last minute. Again, opportunity.
So yeah, but like, those weren't easy fights, though.
No fight in the UFC is easy, man.
Oh, none of them.
Nothing, bro. I don't think any fight, either whether it be a grappler, because a grappler can break your arm, bro.
Right, let me tell you an easy fight, bro.
Let me hear.
Islam versus Charles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That wasn't easy, bro.
He
makes it look easy, bro. That's the thing but look how much time I'm sure these guys that make it look easy have gone through so much to make it for us look easy. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Not an easy fight for
anyone. It's not like.
Let me tell you something right now. In this next card on the UFC 282, I think it is, in the last card of the year,
they're
having the 17-year-old kid fight.
Which one?
You think a 17-year-old
the one that won the contender series.
Okay.
Rojas is his last name, I believe.
Yeah. You think he's
going to give him an easy fight on his first fight?
Who's he against, though?
He's fighting someone in his that's probably debuting, too. It's no
the
one
division?
Like, but they're not going to give him...
Prelims?
Not going to be like, oh, bro, it's your 17-year-old. It's your first fight debuting. It's an easy fight. No, bro.
We'll see, bro.
That person's going to welcome his ass into the UFC as well, bro. He's going to probably be fighting someone... 10 years older than him or twice his age, bro. I'll look
more
right
experience,
now,
cool. All right. So, do we say that Frankie Edgar had a bad way out?
It's definitely one to remember.
That knee, bro. He just boom, bro. Straight to the face.
That's
bro.
One thing that in the UFC, I love when, now that I've been watching it for at least 15 years. I love when I can now be calling shit out, like, oh shit, I can see. You know, you just watch some like and things repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. Like fighting is very mechanical in a sense. Because
you're seeing the setups.
Right. You see the setups. You also see how like strikes are developed and how somebody like how the Pereira fight, bro, when he was reacting to the flinches.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with that fight with Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar was that wide open because he had reacted to a couple flinches already.
Yeah.
So it's like to get caught like that, it's kind of like Ferguson when he got kicked. That drop kick was sheesh.
That was a nasty gig.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so, I don't know, man. That shit was, to go out like that, he went out on his shield. And I definitely give Frankie Edgar...
On his shield or on his sword?
I think on his shield, bro, because they got to carry that fool out on on his sword. That means none, bro.
Well, yeah, at least he said, hey, thank you for all the Guatemalan people that came to see me, right?
You know what sucks, bro?
What?
That his kid and his wife was there to see him.
What was his last fight, bro? Yeah, his retirement fight. Like,
I've seen, like, when Kamaru Usman got knocked out, his daughter had to be carried out. His son took that shit like a champ, bro.
Like, do you feel like, oh, like, he should have retired earlier? Like, he just didn't want to retire or what?
Nah. It's more about this guy he fought was just is a sick-ass fighter. Not no easy fight, bro. They didn't give him no easy fight.
I think it's also about, in a slight sense, you want to go out on your own terms as a fighter.
Right.
Mm. And he's from New Jersey, so fighting at MSG is a... No, it has its things like, oh, at least I got to fight there. You know, I don't think he had fought there before.
Okay.
So there's little things like that I feel like it
and that stadium of that size and everything.
I don't think people found out that he was retiring until fight week.
Gotcha.
Like, okay. You know, people didn't even know that. So
interesting.
Those are things, and it's just we're getting to the end of that era. You know what I mean?
But then at the same time, you have a guy that's now beating a legend in the UFC. So then, how does that also pump up himself, and how does that
it
push
was great
him forward?
For Brian Ortega when he knocked out Frankie Edgar.
Uh-huh.
But that
Frankie
was
Edgar was way younger though.
Yeah, and that time it was like it was something huge because Frankie Edgar had never been knocked out in the UFC when Brian Ortega did it. Now it's like, okay, yeah, you did it to Frankie Edgar, but it's like he's two weight classes below where his prime was at, because he was a champion at 155. When he lost to Brian Ortega and got knocked out, it was at 145, and now he fought at bantamweight on Saturday. So it's like there's a lot of things 135? That you look at it and it's like, all right, it doesn't mean much for Gutierrez who knocked him out. It's all right. It's a good performance for him, don't get me wrong. But it's
a good
like,
win under his belt, but it's nothing like, to like oh, shit, oh wow. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Like let's see him fight like fucking someone like Corey Sandhagen or someone like Calvin Kattar who just lost that that's my bad. Bantamweight, Calvin Kattar is up there. Who did I just say before that?
Lost my
Sandhagen. Sandhagen's at bantamweight. So that'd be if he fights someone like that and beats him, like okay, you just knocked out or beat someone in the top five type stuff. But it's like Gutierrez has a long way to go. Like Gutierrez, what I just saw from him, he reminded me of what like Chito Vera was back when he was coming up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Now Chito's getting to that point where he's like
he could be a title contender.
He's a title contender. You know what I mean? And I think you know that could be the next title contender.
Carla Esparza and Wei Li.
Was that an easy fight for...
Oh, no, sorry. We're skipping over. Poirier and Michael Chandler. That was a gruesome, bloody fight.
That was the People's Main Event?
That was amazing to watch. What'd you guys think about that?
People's Main Event, you know?
I enjoyed it, man. I was going for Poirier, and I'm glad that he got the dub. It was nasty to see all that blood, honestly.
Did you guys see the post fight?
I think the nasty part for me was the part where like he's on top, Chandler's on top of Poirier, and that blood just gushes out on top of him. I was like, ooh,
you mean his mocos?
Yeah, bro.
Did you guys hear what he said about it?
What would he say?
Gravity.
Well, Poirier was saying how it was nasty, and then Chandler was like, "Well, I didn't invent gravity, so it's like I'm on top of him. It's inevitable for it to just come out."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "And I needed to breathe, so it was just." Sucks that it happened, but that's part of fighting. He was saying,
bro,
Dustin's kind of said
that
same thing.
Shit, though. If you look at the video,
what Dustin said though
card.
Was that Dustin was calling him like basically
a dirty fighter because he was sticking his fingers in Poirier's nose and mouth. Yeah.
And Chandler was like, I did stick my fingers in there. He admitted it in the press conference and whatnot. But at that aspect, that fight was everything.
But at
I
the same at the same time, it was like slippery when wet, right?
Yeah,
like there was so much blood out there that like. Do you think like he did it on actual purpose or his hand just slipped in there, you know?
No, I think to some degree he stuck his hand in there, bro.
Yeah. Like,
the purpose thing to me was he aimed to put the snot in the face of, in his eyes, actually. Like you can see him, if you watch I rewatched the card already.
Uh-huh.
And in that fight, you see him like move his head trying to, and then Poirier's,
trying to aim to Poirier's eyes.
And Poirier is trying to like fucking move his head too and shit. Mm. And then at the end, you just see it just, and then
gush out.
Fucking, you can see Poirier is pissed, bro. And he's talking to the ref and he just wiping his eyes, bro. And he's trying to get up, and then that's after they get up. But it's kind of, I don't know, that fight was definitely Chandler's interesting.
He's entertaining to watch. Even though he's losing, he's entertaining.
Because I mean, he doesn't lose. Like, I feel like when, okay, so this is one thing that I feel like if you get choked out, it's different than getting knocked out.
Yeah.
As a loss.
Yeah.
So getting choked out is like playing chess.
Yeah, you know but what I'm saying is that he's lost a lot in the UFC. Like his
but
record,
he's also won, and he's won in some dramatic fashion.
Yes, he's won two fights.
He's 2-2, I think. In the
yeah. So, but the thing is that he's entertaining. Whether he's winning or losing, he's been very entertaining. That's right. What I would give him
for sure.
That he's entertained completely. Like you don't like even when he loses, you're still like, damn, that was a good fight.
You're watching a fight, you're not watching.
Yeah, like mixed martial arts match. He lost versus Gaethje, but that was entertaining. He lost against Poirier, but that was entertaining. His win against Dan Hooker, entertaining.
2-3 in the UFC now.
In my opinion, he was beating Dustin Poirier.
He lost to Oliveira, but that was entertaining.
He beat
and then
Dan
he beat
Hooker,
Tony Ferguson.
Lost to Oliveira, lost to Gaethje. Yeah. Beat Tony Ferguson, and then his last loss to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, exactly.
But and honestly,
but all those fights
have been fucking amazing.
Amazing, exactly. They've been entertaining.
Now he wants fucking Conor McGregor.
He's been saying that.
He wants Conor, but he, Eddie Alvarez today took to Twitter and tagged him in the UFC and said that they should fight for a third time. They fight twice in Bellator, and their fights were fucking wars, too.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
when,
Eddie
and when Eddie Alvarez fought,
older, bro.
When Eddie Alvarez fought Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, also two crazy ass fucking wars. So.
Yeah, but Eddie Alvarez is kind of like to me, he's in the same realm as Frankie Edgar.
But yeah,
I think
in the realm of us talking about easy fights and whatnot, I think that'd be a good fight for Chandler. You know,
that'd be an easy dub.
It's more of a dub
under his belt. And
yeah,
then,
but that's let's go back to the term that I got. Like yeah. Frankie, I mean. Eddie Alvarez is hitting the realm of gatekeeper, not off the losses that he's had recently, because I don't think he's been losing like that badly either. But I feel like more on the longevity.
I mean, he went to one championship and he did win the belt at that some point over there.
I'm talking about the UFC. What was the last?
His last fight. I mean, I don't remember who his last fight was, but the anniversary of Conor beating him was on Saturday.
On Saturday, right? Yeah. But I feel like he's got more of the longevity gatekeeper feel, not longevity, and you've been losing in the last few, like...
His legacy's still intact, is what you're trying to say?
Basically.
Okay, gotcha.
But I definitely would pay to see Conor. I don't think... This is the only thing about having Conor come back to Chandler, is that that's like... not an easy fight for
no,
Conor.
It's not. I would
not
agree
for
no.
Conor.
It's
probably
but
an easy
he
fight.
But Chandler's trying to say like because he's been kind of like losing, even though he's been losing to top talent, and also winning. It kind of makes it seem like oh, it's an opportunity you can take. But I think the trash talk and the fight, I think, would make it entertaining.
But then this is the other thing about Michael Chandler. He's been a standby fighter since he came into the UFC, so the UFC has to kind of reward that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been like right the first when he came in when he got traded. I think was it a trade or was it a like?
No, he was a free agent basically.
So like when he came in as a free agent to UFC that weekend, it was Khabib was supposed to fight somebody else.
I think he fought Justin Gaethje.
Right, and in case one of them didn't make weight because of Khabib and Gaethje have issues making weight in the past, he was already like talking about like I'm here, I'm ready.
More Khabib, to be honest.
Like right. But
Gerson's been pretty good at it.
Michael Chandler, for sure. I fuck with Michael Chandler. I wanted him to win. I'm kind of bummed out. He was winning the fight. He just got caught. I think what happened with Michael Chandler is at the end when he grabbed him again and tried to toss him that backflip toss.
Yeah,
that,
he didn't toss him properly.
I think it landed in his favor, in Dustin's favor, and then Dustin capitalized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. Like I said, opportunity, man. If when opportunity comes and you're not prepared, you can fuck up.
There's also a big thing that that Dustin said, and I think it's a very big thing about the way that Michael fights and the reason why he gets tired. He said he's like he throws a lot of looming punches.
Oh yeah, he's loopy. Yeah. He's not straight.
He's not straight. And he says he even said if he would have thrown straight, he would have knocked me out already.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that it's like when when you're playing the UFC game, when you throw those like haymakers and shit, it takes all your energy and shit.
A lot of toll.
So I think that's a big thing about him. But it's like part of the way he fights, you know. That's why I feel like if he fights Conor would counter the shit out of that, bro.
How you feel about it, Byron?
It's interesting you're actually pointing that out right now because I feel like I've noticed from the at least two or three fights I've seen from Chandler, he does wear himself out like really fast.
Yeah. But I feel like he has
breathing heavy in that second round.
He has good conditioning.
He has spurts, is what he has.
I feel like in this fight, from the fights I've seen him, he actually, like what Enzo's saying, he outlasted the longest.
Mm-hmm. He did do good this fight, man.
All right, Carla Esparza and Whaley. What do you guys think?
Carla Esparza is a boring fighter.
Easy fight for Whaley, I have to say.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Okay. I agree.
Okay, but can we...
It has its threats, though. I'm fucking around just because of saying that.
Yeah. Acknowledge the fact that in the women's category, you do get easy fights.
Possible.
Yeah. I just say it's because the competition gaps.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like,
than in,
the gaps are fucking huge,
especially
bro.
those weight classes that are more higher up. Like, I feel like strawweight and flyweight,
Shevchenko, all them, like those, this shit's crazy, bro.
That strawweight division though has some killers, bro. In the sense of Wei Li, Joanna retired already to get that, but she was one of them at some point. Rose just got Andrade with some shit too.
Joanna
bro,
was one of the last of the last era.
Yeah,
Wei Li is coming in as a yoked ass fucking female.
Oh,
bro.
She's like she's what the UFC could use to like basically take over that Chinese market, bro, or that Asian market.
Yeah.
You know, I already heard that he's going to Korea this year, I think. I'm pretty sure South Korea.
The thing that sucks about China is that they don't put the same thing, they don't emphasize women, so it's going to be hard. They need to get like a man to be at the level that Wei Li does so it can really.
No, but it can still tap into that market.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but either way, it's still marketable.
The Chinese, they're very...
They can take it like it's Olympics. It's still marketable for them. The fact that you have a champion and she's a descendant of that country, like, it's still marketability
for them.
They
already went to China and it wasn't like... It's not... I don't feel the hype behind every... Like, when they've gone. Yeah, she did. But it wasn't...
Sir, you didn't say that into the mic. What did you say?
Said that she did fight in China, and that was actually a crazy-ass fight.
That was a Joanna fight, no?
No, it was when she beat Jessica Andrade.
Oh, shit.
That shit was crazy. Nobody saw that shit coming.
Yeah, and because honestly, Andrade had beat Nama Nunes.
And after that, you've seen a little insurgence of a lot of Chinese fighters after that in the UFC.
Correct.
I mean, who else is a Chinese fighter? Sit down, fool.
Jing Lei was already there before that.
That's his mic.
And then after that, it was, there's just a couple other ones. There's another female fighter, and there's a
I don't hear you properly unless you're on your mic, that's bro.
Hey, sock that fool, bro.
Tell him, get off my mic, bro.
Hey, UFC grab snatches.
Awesome. You're like, this is where I speak. but Wei Li dominated, bro. Wei Li is so good and so dominant.
Sparza's so boring to watch, bro.
Sparza's all ground game. That's the thing. She can't strike. She can't strike for anything. All the punches that she was throwing at Wei Li, I was like, ugh, what are you doing? It just didn't look good. And the thing is, Wei Li has really good defense on the ground, bro, which is what you saw. That defense, bro, she was able to turn it around. Whatever Sparza was throwing on her, it was nothing to her. I mean, dude. I mean, the way she almost... First of all, she almost throws her in a crucifix, but then does the rear naked choke.
Oh, shit.
You know? Like, that says a lot about Wei Li, in my opinion. That you almost get Carla Esparza in a crucifix, but then you end it with the rear naked choke.
Just the easier route to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I knew that she was going to win. I was like, that's a pretty easy win, honestly. But, yeah.
Byron, what did you think? What had you thinking that Esparza was going to win?
Yeah, because you were rooting for her.
I mean, what kind of,
is it because she was Mexican? What
crack were you on?
Some that good crack.
That green crack from Green Dragon?
No, I don't know. I just felt like even though she was the champion, I thought she was the underdog. So, I just figured, I'll try my luck. But should have known better.
No.
It's not about that, bro.
I don't say it like that.
It's about that, bro.
The more reason I ask is just because, that wrestling aspect, even though, she didn't, go crazy with it against Rose. I did rewatch her fight with Rose, and she still took Rose down a good amount of time.
Yeah, but Rose didn't do anything in that
fight,
bro.
That's what got her the win. And it's like, if she could have established to do that with Wei Li, and, we've seen how wrestling, you can use that style to dominate in the UFC.
Yes. But so the difference being, though, that Rose didn't do anything. That's why she lost that
fight.
No
doubt, but it's like...
She lost that fight because she wasn't active.
Beforehand with Wei Li, you don't know if she's going to be timid because of that factor, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I just asked Byron if that was, like, maybe what he saw, like, oh, like, you know, her wrestling could have played a bigger factor.
Nah, but in my... Like, when I look at it, I'm just like... When she's facing Wei Li's going to be active. And because she's going to be active, she's not going to be able to do, like, what she did to Rose like that. Plus, this was the first time they faced each other as well. She, Carla had already faced Rose before, if I'm not mistaken.
And beaten her.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was difference in that as well.
Definitely.
So, what'd you guys think of the main?
Izzy fought...
Shocker.
Izzy fought 24 perfect minutes.
Okay.
23 minutes.
Okay.
Even then, I would say 20 minutes because even in that fifth round, he did try to grapple and stuff like that, but he didn't have that...
He didn't have that power anymore. Yeah.
And Pereira had that urgency.
Okay.
So those two energies gave the result we saw.
Yeah. Because that fight at that point was 3-1.
Easily 3-1, you know what I mean? And
then you have the corner. I remember I made fun of it during...
Because you thought that they were telling him that he was going to become a champion. But like, the whole context of him was him telling him, like, you know, you have to knock this guy out.
Yeah, because I made fun of it because I was kind of like, you're lying to your fighter because they were like... They're like, five more minutes. You're going to become world champion. Five more minutes.
But they weren't
and I was kind of like...
No, they said, if you want to become champion. Mm-hmm.
And in my head, when I was listening to that, I was like, man, they're not telling this dude, like, hey, it's 3-0. You got to go get a knockout. Because that's what you hear other corners say.
Yeah.
No. I've heard other corners in the past where they tell their fighters and they're up front with them and they go like... Yo, you're losing this fight.
The thing is,
you need to go get a knockout.
The thing is that when they're in those corner moments, they switch between one corner and the other. So we got it when they switched them and they're telling him 5 minutes and you're the champion.
Yeah.
But when you go back and you see the full clip,
they're
telling him, like, you need to knock him out. They're basically putting urgency into him.
Okay, gotcha.
You have to for knock him out. And he was like, and
it looked like he got a second wind, honestly, because especially that... Third and fourth round, he was gone in stamina. But somehow in that fifth round, he got a second wind and was like, let's go.
It was that urgency they placed in him, bro. They just told him, basically, let your hands go and knock him out.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And he went with that.
Those hooks were short, man.
He knew that
it was
3-1, too.
About not only a confidence booster when you've already beat somebody.
Yeah. Well, he had something that he said. I think it was in the embedded... If I'm not mistaken, I think it was episode 1 where he Pereira says, there's a saying in Brazil, your body doesn't forget what you've experienced. And then he said, Izzy's body hasn't forgot that I beat him. So I know I can beat him. And that's interesting to me. So it's like, you're bringing up the point of like, he's already knocked him out before.
You know what's interesting also about Izzy could have won in one of those matches because he got an a standing eight count.
Uh-huh.
And imagine if Izzy would have got the standing eight count in the UFC.
Yeah.
Because, like, to be honest, I think Izzy would have gotten fucking touched. He was fucking...
No, he was dazed, for sure.
But I don't think...
It was early stoppage?
I feel like it was an early stoppage more on the fact that he's a big star for the UFC and the UFC was protecting their product.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense they don't want to hurt a fighter that can potentially fight again and another rematch.
Yeah.
So they stopped it. We'll get a rematch and we'll see what happens again, you know. But damn, bro. I think they should have let him get knocked out.
The interesting thing.
He said he was saying, I was fine. I was good. But
because the reason you do believe that he's fine is because as soon as the ref stops it,
he stands up
and he's like, what? Why'd you stop it? You know, but at the same time, it's like, dude, the ref is reading your body language. You're looking down. You're not even looking at the fighter. Your hands are down.
I watched the fight this 3 times already.
Okay.
And one thing that I didn't notice that in other fights, when a fighter is getting touched like that, the ref usually says, hey, show me something.
Yeah.
Move. Do something.
Yeah.
They didn't say shit to Izzy.
Okay.
So that's where I look at that, like, that's kind of early. It's too premature to, like...
Yeah,
you know?
But he's looking at the body language. The fact that he's, like I said, he's not looking at Pereira. His hands are down. And it's like, yo, I'm going to just step in, you know?
Yeah, but I just feel like it was too early. I mean,
yeah, but I mean,
I just feel like because I
get your point though. I get your point on what you're saying.
It's just, I don't know, man. It was just kind of, and then I kind of didn't like how Izzy reacted after about how, like, that's life, and you know, I love my life. Because
that he wasn't upset about it.
Yeah, because he was talking a lot of shit before.
Yeah.
And now you look like a meme, bro. Now you're going to become a meme.
Yeah.
Because he said something like...
You wanted that Connor reaction, huh? Like, not even, your wife is in my DMs! That's what you wanted,
not,
or what?
Not even like... Because even Connor, when he loses Connor in that post-press conference, bro, he's usually very respectful.
Uh-huh.
That fight, when he said that your wife's in my DM, is like literally after the fight in the ring. Yeah, that's kind of a different aspect, but... I always look forward to what a fighter says in the post conference.
Yeah.
And what he was saying to me was kind of like he kept it short and sweet, and then he even said I had to go somewhere or some shit. But I felt like I was more saddened and disappointed that he lost than he was.
I got shocked on Whitaker's reaction, bro. Whitaker was like, "Whoa!"
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that on IG.
Whitaker was saying that he hoped that they both fought each other to the point where they both were injured and it like took a toll on them. Like Whitaker seemed very like kind of salty about his losses to him, but
because he's always been that guy that he's really good enough, but he's never been able to get that belt.
The thing
back
about Izzy is that I think that
like, I think that might happen to Izzy now.
I know what you're saying, Enzo. With like you wish he shown like more like maybe more emotion or something because of the loss, but at the same time it's kind of like. For me personally, I see that and I'm like, damn, it's hard to take an L like that and have that attitude, especially like in the midst of it happening, you know, like so I admire it, to be honest with you, to see you fight basically a perfect fight and then like you say, you feel like it's an early stoppage and all that stuff.
Here's the other thing that I had a couple friends tell me. A couple of friends always hated the Izzy fights for one reason, because they were always like, oh, this guy's too dominant. You know, we never really see him fight. The feedback they gave me after this fight, they were like, wow, I didn't know that Izzy was this good.
Yeah.
Even though he lost, they were like, finally, we got to see how good he really
Izzy
is.
Still, regardless of the result, in which so I like
to. That also, that's the other thing is that, you know, as a fan, you're like, yeah, he lost, but you know that, like, he's a really, really top fighter, man.
What'd you think about it, Byron? I know you were also going for Izzy and whatnot.
I was shocked, man. Was not expecting that.
Were you expecting Izzy to finish him?
No, I was expecting...
He almost did in the first round.
I was expecting more of a finish and like a submission type of thing, because I believe like a couple of times Izzy tried to get him in the submission.
He did actually when they were rolling around and stuff like that.
Didn't happen.
Have you guys ran it on the UFC?
I did, and I was piecing this fool up, and it was low-key harder to finish Pereira.
Bro,
it's fucking hard.
Same dog. You have to be very.
You know what's funny,
very...
bro? I was fighting that fool. I mean, I do it with everybody. I fight him on Legendary. But I feel like I was still picking him apart, and I'm like, fuck, how am I not knocking this fool
Izzy
out?
Izzy doesn't have the power, but the only way I knocked
he
him out...
He only ruptured his eardrum. That's
the only way I knocked him out in UFC 4 was a front leg kick. And then the other time that I dazed him pretty good was question mark kicks. But besides that, bro... He did a few of those. The hands, dog, didn't do it, but bro, when he came with those hooks coming in close, fool. He was dropping Izzy in the game. It was kind of. I ain't gonna front. I probably lost 3 times and I beat that fool 4 times. But it was like I said, once I figured out it's that drop kick, because I lost 2 in a row and I was like, fuck. And then I just went on a winning streak against the computer. And once I figured out, okay, it's the drop kick that can actually hurt him, I just kind of went that route, but dog, it was hard to do. That's like every time is one thing I do after a fight.
Interesting because in January there's a card that's supposed to happen in Brazil. This guy's Brazilian, and I don't feel like these guys took like maybe their legs are what took the most damage because they're kicking each other a lot of times.
A lot of people don't think that he keeps the belt though.
Who's he gonna lose against?
Because he hasn't fought any of the. Of the people that are there.
Okay, with that being said, that may be true, but I also feel like...
You think Khamzat can take him?
I think Khamzat has power to fuck that fool up.
That's really a match...
Because you're talking about Brazil. That would be an interesting one. Khamzat versus him.
And well, we're talking about Khamzat fighting Kobe. But I'm saying the rematch happening in January. I know it's very soon, but I feel like
it could happen.
It happened.
Yeah, they could turn it around. Nobody. Really, he still gets 6 weeks though.
Oh no, 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 no. Yeah. It's not gonna happen though, because in the press conference, Izzy said he needs some time off. He needs to. He needs to take care of his body. So he's gonna take some time off.
Yeah, so I see him coming back probably like next year, May, sometime. June.
Nah, I see a whole year off. He's gonna try to.
Nah, hell no, not a year off. I see him coming back like for sure by the summertime.
Bro, he fought three times. He said he's been fighting three times for the last 6 years.
Yeah, they always say they want to keep doing that though. So.
I mean, that.
Hey, bro, he destroys his body for our entertainment, bro. Especially, he wants to rest.
Especially depending on what the contract negotiations go like and all that. And I know he's not going to want to, like, not fight for his belt. So, I think that. But
it's going to be interesting. One we didn't mention, which is a good mention, is Dominic Reyes.
Fourth loss after losing to John Jones. Back in 2019. Dominic Reyes. It's very tough.
He's never been the same.
Never been the same.
Mm.
Hold on. Did you guys see that shit though?
Yeah, he went to the shadow round, bro. That fool was like,
off of a jab.
Yo. And then they were saying, somebody's talking shit on Twitter, talking about he hasn't been the same since he fought John Jones. And John Jones is like, nah, I think the issue is.
In his head, he still thinks he beat me. Oh.
Mic drop.
Oh. All right. What else, Maury? What else you got for us, bro?
The Lakers picked up their third win of the season.
Against the Nets. Without LeBron, bro.
Without LeBron. And Kyrie. They don't have Kyrie or James Harden either, so. Yeah.
What do you mean, James Harden? James Harden?
Ben Simmons.
My bad, Ben Simmons.
I was like, he's been in Philly. What you mean?
Out. I know James Harden is out, though, for the Sixers. I think for like a month, so he should probably be coming back.
You're trying to save yourself from
that. I know.
Yeah. I just remember hearing James Harden was out for a month.
I just remember hearing that you just fucked up right now.
Hey, bro, I was right like, back, what? It's like you're doing earlier.
He busted a me, bro. That's what he did.
Spin the block.
Spin the block.
Oh, man.
But they beat the Nets on.
Lonnie Walker stepped up for that game.
Anthony Davis fucking stepped up.
34 points.
38.
Oh, my bad.
Like fucking a lot of
rebounds. Took four about, yeah.
I mean, so it's like that.
But also,
if anybody needs to step up, it's Anthony Davis, especially if there's no.
But also, you saw that he can play with Anthony Russell and him can play together.
Yeah, well, we know that. That's
you know, it's crazy to see Russell on the bench in the 9 minutes of the games now. As good as he's playing throughout the game. He doesn't finish the games anymore. Austin Reeves finishes. Lonnie Walker finishes.
Yeah, well, he's never been good in that fourth quarter.
I mean, when he was in OKC, he played in fourth. Now he
But that's OKC. Like, he hasn't been that since in a while.
He hasn't been that since OKC.
Practically.
Nah, he was still averaging a triple-double in the
Wizards?
Yeah. But, now the Lakers.
Oh, talking about the Wizards. Kuzma, right? Balled out. They said it was a huge thing for him.
Yeah.
36 points.
Fuck. Look, I want to talk about that specifically right now because a lot of people say
the 3-10.
Oh, you know these young guys leave and they're playing great in other teams.
So it's a smaller market. It's less pressure.
Not even that, bro. I just feel like it's different, like, cuz at the same time these guys were all playing together at some point before LeBron got there. And they won, what, like fucking 20 games in the season, too?
They were
like,
rookies, bro. They didn't have experience.
No doubt. But it's like Let me ask you this question. Do you think if that team would have stayed together with the coach and everything like that, you think they would have won the championship even in the bubble?
Okay, for one?
Even in the bubble.
Possibility. Those players are doing well,
for
bro.
For one, not with the coach. That's definitely not.
Okay.
Because the coach can... If you have young players... You can bring a coach that has that experience and he can help that on that aspect.
So but do you think Frank Vogel or Darvin Ham would have done that for that group of people?
Frank Vogel could have done it. I think Frank Vogel could have done it.
If we had Butch guys.
He's talking about when LeBron first got there, bro.
Not even LeBron Davis.
Young guys. All the young guys
we said when LeBron got there, which was when we had Brandon Ingram.
They played with each other before.
We had Kyle Kuzma. We had Lonzo.
Yeah, but that's where again, those guys,
they just didn't have experience, but they were good.
They were like three sophomore, like, you know, they were just so young in the league.
All right, yeah. So would Frank Vogel, I would have taken that team to the championship with LeBron, let's say.
Can I just
too.
Make a point of the Brandon Ingram and LeBron duo was two in the league before that groin injury on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
To Christmas, that's one of the points where you're looking at a team like, okay, depending on how good their record is around that time, it's like, okay, these guys are going to be good for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they were doing hella good, and that was Luke Walton, bro. That's not Frank Vogel that has the defensive playoff experience that he's had, like, with the Pacers. Luke didn't have that, but he still had the team at a certain level with LeBron. Then LeBron got hurt, and then the Luke and the young core that they had could not sustain where they were at. And that's where LeBron was like, I need another star. Because if I go down, at least he can sustain the momentum that we've been having, you know?
Yeah.
But then we got the guy, and he's just been hurt. And, you know, I don't know. That's my answer to your
question. Yeah, I think he could have done it with them, though.
What are you looking up there?
I don't think that they would have won the championship, though.
I mean, you have to also acknowledge the fact that LeBron had made, I think, 8 of the last 10 finals up to that point that year. So I think they were going
to
make
the finals. So when they got to that day on Christmas against the Warriors, they were at 20-14.
Nah, bro, they were like number two
He's looking at the record.
Yeah, I'm looking at the record. That day they were 20-14.
But they were still
they were winning record and whatnot compared to the fuck we are right now.
Three in the West, bro.
Yeah, that I can't see it at that time. But I just
yeah, go look. I think they say it on the Hulu documentary. That's where I got my info from, because that's where Jimmy Buss was like, we were like second or third in the standings.
They still won that game against the Warriors too.
That's what I'm saying. 127-101. That's what I'm saying, bro. That they could have done it, bro. Not right away, but they could have done it in like 2 years.
And that was
the
season that after that season, I believe they got rid of Lou Walton as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
That's when they brought Frank, and that's when they got rid of the core, and then they brought AD.
Magic left because he wanted to let go of Luke, and Luke and Genie didn't want to let go of Luke.
And they still let go of Luke. It's just funny.
I don't know, man. The Lakers. Fuck. I'm hearing a lot of shit.
Yeah, they're in deep, deep trouble.
They're saying that, you know, Russell's been playing good. His stock is back up. They're trying to make a move. Here moves for AD. But I don't know, man.
I don't think we'll see any moves until the trade deadline. I think they'll really see every option on the table. And if there's something that you can't kind of let pass, then maybe they'll do it. Which, like, right now, I don't know who that would be. Maybe I've heard Bradley Beal in the talks again, but it's like, to give up a lot of players just for one, it's going to be like, you know, and picks, you know, that we don't.
I'd rather get picks.
You know what I mean?
So I'd rather get some players and some picks, man.
There's a lot of stuff there that you know, depends. But I think the trade deadline would be.
Because the Lakers got to think about their future because they don't have picks, bro. I mean, if you can trade AD and Russell and get, you know, get some players and some picks, I mean, it's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy because there's still other teams like the Warriors that I think they're like at 500. Same thing with like the Clippers. So it's like these are the teams that are also up there and whatnot. They don't have like incredible records themselves, you know?
Nah, but that's just the finals slump, basically. That's going on.
All right, Byron, what's the last Laker game you saw?
Like full game?
Yeah, I mean, last Laker game you saw.
The only one that comes to my head was the one when we're at the gym.
Oh, when they hit that.
The Pelicans.
Beat it. That was the last one they got before that.
T1?
Yeah. That was the last win.
Well, we're going into what's about to be Thanksgiving week next week. Crazy. The World Cup's going to happen next week. We're going to have NFL games. Don't the Saints play on Thanksgiving Day this year?
Nope. But we do play the Rams this Sunday.
Sick.
Oof.
In New Orleans.
New Orleans? Damn, bro. And the Rams lost, still, I think, again,
suck,
too.
Suck, though.
I don't know, man.
A bunch of stuff going on, too. The NFL. The Broncos lost to the Titans, bro. I saw this thing today that if in the all the games the Broncos have lost, if they scored 18 points in the second half, they would be 8-1 right now.
Oof.
Fucking sucks, bro.
Oof.
18 points, bro. That's
Russell
basically
Wilson, man.
That's Oof. Basically
Nah, he got no pocket, bro.
Nah, bro. Future hat is living rent free in his head, bro.
Facts, bro. They're probably he's trying to be such a nice guy, bro. I'm pretty sure that he comes into practice and the team's already playing Future and he's like, fuck. Can't say no to the can't say anything to the guys because then
they're gonna think I'm a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And then that fool be saying that fool's like.
But you know what's crazy? Tom Brady's 2-0 since the divorce. And she's out in Costa Rica with a jiu-jitsu trainer. Damn, bro.
He's training jiu-jitsu with her.
How quickly they move on, huh? Hey guys. Just remember.
The moment she said she wanted a divorce, bro, she had already moved on a month ago, bro.
Well, not only that, but a moment a woman becomes is back on the market, the line for that
is waiting, bro. Yeah. Como dijo Bad Bunny, hay una línea cabrona, yo solo quiero el culo.
Translation, please.
There's a huge line, and I only want that ass.
The great words of
two
the
shots
philosopher Bad Bunny.
Oh man, that's a good one, man. No. And then after you guys play the Rams, you guys play the Niners after that. See how that
what do the Broncos play after that, though? That's what I want to know.
Broncos play the Panthers that week I'm telling him about.
Kind of forever about to have that.
This
ass.
Week coming up is the Raiders and the Broncos, and the Raiders are coming off of their fourth loss as well.
So the Broncos.
Hey, how
winning.
Do you guys feel about Derek Carr crying like that?
It's my favorite meme right now is where they put the coach and Davante Adams and it's the movie and they're saying, dude, where's my car? Because Derek Carr is nowhere to be found.
Oof.
So they're like, dude, where's my car?
Oof.
Good movie, by the way.
With Ashton Kutcher, I believe.
My biggest question right now is it starts next week. Who you got in the World Cup, Manny?
Nah, before that, bro. You got to talk about what everybody's been talking about,
okay,
bro.
Okay, man.
What about
you.
The Eagles losing?
Man, you.
Okay.
We got it.
He
so,
got $1 million
no
fine.
No one's been talking about that, bro.
He got $1 million fine for that interview with Piers Morgan.
Well, first of all, the interview hasn't even dropped yet.
And you got $1 million fine.
The interview
clip dropped, my guy.
Two clips dropped. There was two clips that dropped. The full interviews are being split. The full interview, and it's being split between Wednesday and Thursday. Man, you already came out and said that they're not gonna say anything until they see the full interview and then take a decision on what they're gonna do. However, a lot of the things from the two clips that have dropped and have made a lot of headlines and a lot of news, most of the things that he's said is not nothing new. Everything that he's alluded to or stated to, if you're a true Man U fan, you've heard of these things before. These articles have come out before stating that. When he got to Man U, that's the first thing he said. He talked about how like the pool wasn't good enough, the jacuzzi wasn't good enough. That's something that he's already said in the past. This is just the first time that it's actually
publicized
Public, and it's on an interview format.
It's out of the horse's mouth.
Yeah, it's out of directly from him because before it was just articles quoting him, but there was no footage of him saying it. So that's why for me, what the things that he's said so far are not that shocking. The other thing is, if you know anything about like Man U and what it's been going through, he's talking a lot to the fan base that has been asking for the Glazers to sell Man U. Because the Glazers, which are the American owners of Man U, don't really care about the sport and don't really care about the club.
It's an investment.
Yeah, exactly. It's a marketing tool for them. For them, all they care about is how much money can we make through marketing. They're just like, all right, partnerships here, partnerships there. That's what they care about. That's why financially, they've made a lot of money. But at the same time, these owners just put the club more in debt and they don't reinvest that money into the club. They keep that money for themselves. That's why they've been asking for like, hey, sell the club. You guys don't care about the club. You guys don't care about the sport that way. The fan base has asked for that. Mm. So that's where I feel like Ronaldo's also kind of trying to get that fan base, you know, to side
to
with
rally
him.
Okay.
Yeah, to rally behind him as well. Because the fan base has been asking for the Glazers to sell Man U. will be like, oh, we totally agree with that. Like, yes, the facility should have been renewed. Yes, we should have, like, there's a lot of problems even with the stadium right now when they talk about when it rains, like, water's pouring in, like, the roof needs to be repaired, and they haven't done it. Those are the signs where, like, it lets you know that the owners don't care because they're not reinvesting into the club that way.
Right.
They're just...
Do you feel like he has a valid point with his arguments?
Like... with some things, yes. I would agree with some things. With some other things, I don't agree with.
Like?
Well, I don't agree with this. Like, what the whole interview thing. Like, the reason I don't agree with it is...
Making it public and shit.
Yeah, making it public, but also the fact that you got a World Cup coming up. And two of your teammates play for Man U. How does that affect your World Cup running now? Because you got two of your teammates that play with you. And they're starters for
Fuck
Portugal.
They're not wearing that jersey though. They're wearing a Portugal jersey.
Yes, though. But at the same time, you could say that, and I agree with you that it should be about Portugal first. But at the same time, you know that people are emotional, and you know that people have a certain mentality.
But you can say that, but at the same time, his beef isn't with those players. His beef is with the organization.
Yes.
And little do you know, maybe they feel the same way. Regardless if they start or they come off the bench, they may feel the exact same way, but. They don't have the voice that Ronaldo has.
Correct. I do agree with that part.
You know what I mean? I think that doesn't affect them for shit. At the end of the day, they're pretty sure they're getting on the pitch and they say, fuck Manchester United. It's about Portugal right now. You know what I mean?
It could be, but who knows?
I mean,
for me, it's just kind of like, I don't know how that affects your World Cup because now the news and everything that you do is about this interview. And that's one thing. The other thing... the reason that this ended up happening, and it's and that's the other thing about the club didn't get ahead of it. Back in August, Ronaldo tweeted out and said, he's like, I'm gonna air out everything in an interview and let you guys know what's really going on. So the club could have gotten ahead of this. They could have sat down with him. They could have talked with him. They could have been like, yo, all right, you tweeted this out. What's going on? Let's talk. Let's figure this out. They could have got, like, basically, they've allowed this situation to happen instead of trying to nip this in the butt, right? One of the things, talking about the media, this is the media side of it, not the club side. The media side, when Ronaldo didn't show up to preseason, the media was like, oh, he's trying to get sold. He's trying to leave. He's not trying to stay at Man U. Not thinking about the fact that his wife gave birth to twins. His son... passed away, right? And this was back in May when his son passed away. And then preseason...
He was stillborn, right?
Yeah, he was stillborn.
Because he has another son and we want to make it sure.
Well, he has more than one.
Well, that one's not passed away, you know? Stillborn child that happened.
So then that happened back in May. In June, you have the start of... you have to start going to preseason, and then July, you actually go out into wherever you guys are going to travel to. But he didn't go to that. He told the facilities, I can't go. Like, right now I got to take care of my family. My kid just passed away.
Understandable.
Then after that, his daughter that was born with the twin that passed away, his daughter ends up getting sick after, I think, 2 or 3 months. And then once again, he tells them, like, I can't play right now. Like, I got to focus on this. Like, my family comes first, right? But they don't believe him. They don't take, like, his word for it. So that's another thing that he's going to air out in that interview, talking about how, like, he feels disrespected by upper management because upper management didn't respect him. The other thing is, before choosing to go back to Man U, he was on his way to Manchester City. So he was on his way to go play for Pep Guardiola. And the only reason he returned to Man U was because Sir Alex Ferguson, which was the coach that brought him to Man U originally, talked to him and told him, like, hey, like, you know, don't ruin your reputation by going to basically the other hated side of the city, you know, to our rivals. Like, no, come back to us. So he ended up coming back to Man U, but it was more of an emotional move where it's like, okay, the coach that... gave me the opportunities, asking me to come back here. So he went back there because of that.
So it's all his fault, I get it.
And then now it's like, man, like, You're with a team that doesn't have the infrastructure. He's also talks trash about Ralph Rangnick, which is understandable because he should have never been coaching in the first place. What was the coach last year? But the other thing I believe as well is if he's able, he hasn't been playing well. If he's able to pull off this World Cup, like, I mean, honestly, pull it off. Because I think Portugal can win it all.
What?
I think so.
A blasphemy.
The way they're stacked, bro.
This guy here.
I think they can, bro. The way they're stacked.
I mean, I think Argentina's like on a 30-something win game winning streak or something.
Bro.
I'm just saying.
I also think Brazil can win it, too.
Brazil's good.
Brazil is super stacked as well.
I thought on Neymar, too.
Here's the thing. If Ronaldo's able to prove the haters wrong and win this World Cup, and because he's also doing this in order to leave Man U, because he already said he doesn't respect the current coach, he doesn't respect the people that are there, so we already know that he's trying to get sold in January. If he's able to show that he can still play in this World Cup and be able to pull it off, I think that's a good argument for him to go somewhere else. Because that was supposedly the hard part in summer to try to get rid of him. Nobody wanted him because he has high wages. All right. Very interested in my little rant.
I think that if he goes anywhere, he should go to Man City as a big fuck you to Manchester United.
Huh?
I think he should go to Man City to say put a big fuck
you. I mean, I doubt it just because they got Haaland now.
Fuck it, bro. They probably got the money too then.
Because that was the whole reason. Like, if he would have gone there before there, Haaland doesn't go there. But now they got Haaland, it's kind of like, bro, what's the point?
It still happened, bro. Messi's playing next to Mbappe and fucking Neymar, so.
Yeah, but Ronaldo's not about to go play second striker to Haaland. If he were to try to go to Man City.
What's to say, bro? Isn't Man City also owned by...
No, that they have the money, they have money. Yes, I agree with you on that. But then you're going to have to bench Haaland because Ronaldo's not going to want to play second fiddle to Haaland.
Or they just set up the formation differently so that it works out for both of them, bro.
Hmm. Good play.
You know what I mean?
I mean, they could play a 4-4-2, but then they would give up a lot of their wingers, and then they would give up their midfield.
I mean, didn't Ronaldo also, hasn't he played in the midfield before too?
No, he's never played midfield. He's played, he originally started off as a left winger, and then in his older age, he's become a number 9. Yeah.
Just put them both on the wings, fuck it.
Haaland doesn't play on the wings, but all right, man.
Fuck it, bro. You're playing next to another great player, bro.
Haaland is his true number 9.
You just got to know how to fucking adapt, bro. And that's fine then. Keep him in the middle and you put Ronaldo on the wing and then you throw another wing that's like...
Damn, bro, but then you would have to bench Phil Foden.
Fuck Phil Foden, bro. You got Ronaldo and Haaland, bro.
Man City fans right now are raving, bro, for you saying that. You should clip that and put that up, bro.
I will, bro.
Yeah. How are the Chivas looking in this World Cup?
Damn, bro, really? That's not even a country, but all right.
Not a question, bro. Pretty sure some Chivas players playing in Mexico squad.
Yeah. That's
so I heard this thing that Chicharito's not going to the World Cup because there's basically the person who runs the Federation of the Mexican Soccer.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't like him.
He did something for him not to like him. And what he did was there was like a gathering. I think they said it was like in New York or something like that. And the wife of this Federation guy, she owns like certain like penthouses and stuff like that out there in New York. And he since he's like, oh, I'm Chicharito, I can do whatever I want. They say that he was basically flying around in like a jet that also belonged to the Federation. With like a bunch of females and just like taking them to places, and that he ended up taking them to one of the penthouses of the wife of the guy that works in the Federation, and it basically got the guy into some heat with his wife and shit like that, and then he was like, "You're cut, bro. You're not gonna play for the Selección anymore." So that's like the dirt behind the scenes shit that I heard.
I agree,
about.
Bro.
From Chicharito, huh?
He messed up the guy's piece, bro.
I heard
he messed up the guy's piece, bro. The guy's gonna be like, "F you."
I'll just say I heard you're from a Mexican. That's all I'm going to say.
Is it the Team Z Mexico or something?
Probably.
Probably.
Got the sauce, bro.
My sources, bro. Just like you won't reveal your sources, like I'm my sources.
Oh, I'm a doctor, bro. It's like I'm a barber, so my confidentiality is like a doctor's.
Oh,
yeah,
bro. Oh. I work in an industry where there's a lot of people connected to, bro. So I got my sources, bro. Got my sources. But yeah, because I saw that Mexico put out their final squad. It just sucks not to see Chicharito there. But when I heard that, I'm like, huh. He was trying to use his...
got Raul Jimenez, bro.
He was trying to use his clout.
Carlos Vela.
He's not in there, too.
Nah, Vela.
What I do like to see, though, is that Guillermo Ochoa is on that squad.
Well, I do like to see that Argentina is going to win it this year.
Oh. We'll see.
We shall see.
Did you guys see
Tyson Fury's dad go crazy at Jake Paul?
Yeah.
Well, and then Tyson Fury went first, bro. He's like, get in this ring.
It was Tommy Fury.
Come on, get in this ring.
Then he almost tried to get out to fight him. And then Jake was like, what up, cuh?
Huh.
When I saw that, I was like, Jake, just stop, please.
Cuh?
Yeah, when I said cuh. We spoke about this on our last pod, though. But Enzo, what do you think about Jake Paul and Andrew Tate? Will you pay to watch that fight?
Yes, no. He will.
I'll ask
through some sites.
Ask Manny for the website on that one.
That's why you'll pay through the sites, bro.
What do you think about a fight like that? Do you think that Andrew Tate poses a threat to Jake Paul and his undefeated record?
No. Here's a reason why. Andrew Tate, and I didn't say this last time.
Andrew Tate would beat his ass, bro.
And so I'll say this. There's one thing that I remember Andrew Tate saying in a video. Unless he was bullshitting in that video, then this might not matter. But he said that he doesn't fight anymore because one of his hands is broken and it gives him an issue. So I don't know if he would actually go through with it.
He's like, I just let me drive my Bugatti that well anymore.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, sports world.